You may be seated. You know, I got a call yesterday from Steve Oates, our worship leader. He's stuck in London. He said, I didn't make the flight, so I'm stuck in London. That is, you know, the London far away, not like London, Texas. It's London far away. And so Shelley Branham stepped in, pulled everything together, and did worship together. Thank you, Shelley. And it's good to have Angie back again, who lives in Houston now, but we came back, so that's really good. Yeah, we want to continue in worship by the giving of our tithes and offerings. Giving for us here is an act of faith and an act of worship. Now, it's going to be a little different today, kids. If you're in the first grade, we think that you're old enough to stay here with your parents today and come to the communion table, okay? Now, whether you partake in communion, that's up to you and your parents when they think you're old enough and understand that well enough. That's up to you guys. But what you can do is bring your Operation Christmas Child box. So we want all the kids to have a box to bring, and we're going to stack them right here on the stage today and then add to them with our second service, and it'll be great. So if you're not in first grade, which means kindergarten or lower than or younger, then we do have Sunday school for those guys, okay? And the rest of us are going to stay here for the whole time. All right, let's pray, and we'll receive the offering. Lord God Almighty, we give thanks. We give thanks that you have blessed us so much that you enable us to share and to be blessings to others. That's the kind of church, Father, we want to be. We want to be the kind of church that not only blesses one another, that not only comes to worship you and bless you, but also blesses those in our community and gives to those even far away from our own community. We want to be the means through which you bless this world. That begins, Father, with our Sunday offerings. So I pray that as we give our tithes and we give our offerings, that you'll be honored, that you'll be glorified. And I pray, Lord God, you'll bless each one who gives today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, kindergarten and younger, head to your Sunday school classes. Hey, just there's a lot of announcements in the bulletin. You can read those. Just one I wanted you to pull out. That's this Journey to Bethlehem flyer. This is about the fifth year, I think, that we're going to be doing Journey to Bethlehem. That's the first weekend of December. So we put the flyers here so you can take them home and give to someone. Last year we had over 1,200 people come and walk through the Journey to Bethlehem, where we reconstruct the little village on the, you know, back here behind the church, and you get a guided tour through Bethlehem and the birth of Christ. It's great for kids and adults alike. You will love it, and your neighbors will love it. So it's a great thing to invite someone to come and do. It'll be on those two nights, that Friday night, Saturday night, December 4th and 5th. 4th and 5th. would be great. Okay, we're going to have a kind of an abbreviated kind of welcome greeting time today. So let's all stand up again. Now greet someone sort of within arm's length, and then we're going to begin to get ready for communion. I have a few cups here that are special that I wanted to tell you about real quick. The first one is this little cup. It's got a star on it. You probably can't see the star from there. But I got this cup at the new Cowboys Stadium at the U2 concert that we went to. And it was such a fun night, I'm telling you. It was fun, because I really like you too. And because that concert wasn't cheap. But it was so good. And this cup I will keep, and it will forever remind me of that great memory of going with my wife and my daughter to see you two at the new Cowboys Stadium. So it's a special cup for us. It has a particular memory that we treasure. This, I don't know, can you kids, at least in the front, you might be able to see this. This is a coffee cup, and it's got this picture of trees and bananas, and it's got a monkey with reaching all around. Can you kids see that? You see the monkey on the coffee cup? This cup I brought home from Costa Rica. My wife and I made this wonderful trip, this vacation trip to Costa Rica about 8 years ago or so. Oh my goodness! We rode the rapids in one of those big inflatable boat things, and we did that whole treetop thing where you get harnessed in and you ride a zip line from tree to tree in the jungle. We saw monkeys, real monkeys, like everywhere. We saw crocodiles. It was a little scary. Yeah, we stayed in the boat on that. This is a special cup because it reminds me of that trip and how fun it was and how beautiful Costa Rica is. And this is my favorite cup. This is the one that I keep in my office. The others I keep at home. This is a cup that I brought back from Jerusalem. A couple of years ago, Sandy, my wife, and I got to go to the Holy Land. We got to visit Egypt and Jordan and the West Bank, and we ended up in Jerusalem. And oh my goodness, what a fun time that was. And I chose this cup in this shop to be a memory of that wonderful trip, and it also reminds me of my faith in Christ. And on the cup, you have this ancient, it's like 5th century mosaic copied. And it has the bread in the basket and the two fish. Remember when Jesus took the fish and the bread and he fed the 5,000 with two fish and the five loaves? And it's a wonderful memory for me. Do you have a cup that brings special memories for you? A cup that has just a certain meaning that you like to keep and hang on to? At the Last Supper, Jesus took a cup. I doubt it was this pretty of a cup. It was probably an old wooden cup. And he raised that cup as a symbol. And today, as we get ready to come to the Lord's table, I want us to remember what the symbol of the cup of Christ is all about. Our passage today, our text today, which has our next Jesus question, which is the theme that we're on for the next several weeks, is Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 40. Listen carefully to this little short passage, and we'll see what it means. Then James and John, sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink, or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." So Jesus is on the road to Jerusalem with his disciples. Remember those 12 guys? And there were a bunch of others following along too. And so they're on the road to Jerusalem. And on the way, just before this passage that we read, Jesus stops and he tells them what's going to happen in Jerusalem. They think he's going to Jerusalem to be crowned king. And Jesus says, no, that's not exactly what's going to happen. What's going to happen in Jerusalem is all the people, they're going to reject me. And then they're going to torture me. They're going to beat me with a whip. And then they're going to kill me. They're going to execute me. Put me on a cross. So that was a pretty serious moment, don't you think? Right after that, we get to this text. And the very first thing a couple of those disciples say is, "Jesus, we have a favor. Would you do us a favor?" That's the favor. You know, parents learn early on, kids, that when you come and say, "Mom, would you do something for me? Would you do me?" Then what does mom say? "What do you want?" They don't go, "Oh, sure, I'll do anything." So Jesus kind of does the same thing. He says, "So what do you guys want?" And so the first thing they ask for, after he's told them what's going to happen in Jerusalem, is they say, "Could one of us sit on your right and the other on your left when we get to Jerusalem?" I mean, they don't say get to Jerusalem, but that's what they meant. "When we get to Jerusalem and we can share in your glory?" Wow. Talk about missing the boat. Talk about missing the point. Not understanding the direction that Jesus was going. I mean, James and John, these two brothers, they're thinking about glory. They're thinking about status. They're thinking about power. They're thinking about authority. They completely miss Jesus' description of what's going to happen when they arrive at Jerusalem. They just don't get it at all. Don't you know when they ask that question, Jesus goes, "Oh my goodness, these guys are idiots. Lord, do you have any disciples with a brain that could follow me?" I mean, he had to have been frustrated with that statement. But he's very patient. And he asks, and this is the Jesus question, the conversation stopper. Only it doesn't stop the conversation this time. He says, "Can you drink from the cup that I'm going to drink from? Can you be baptized in my baptism?" What do you mean by that? What does the cup of Christ symbolize for us? Because that's what we do when we come to this table and we take the bread and we take these little bitty cups and we take a drink. We're saying, like those guys did, Yeah, we can. We can do that. What does the cup of Christ symbolize? Three things, at least. First, the cup of Christ symbolizes suffering. Wow. That's a tough message, isn't it? The cup of Christ is a powerful symbol of His suffering. He's asking James and John, can you share in my suffering? Can you be a part of that? He's asking them, can you deny yourself? Can you take up a cross like I'm going to? And can you go to Calvary with me? You know, in the past, I've always thought that when Jesus asked that question, can you drink from my cup? I always thought that was a message just for James and John. I always thought that was sort of a prophetic statement that James and John were also going to be martyred. That means killed because of their faith in Christ. I thought that's not what it really means. There may be some prophetic element of that, but it's more. The question isn't just for James and John. It's for all of us who will follow Christ. You cannot follow Christ unless you're going to drink from the cup. He asks each one who comes to Him, can you persevere in faith and love through adversity? When life gets hard, when suffering is thrust upon you, when the path is not so fun anymore, can you persevere? Can you continue to have a thankful heart? Can you be a person who blesses others even in the face of hardship? You know, he doesn't pretend that it's going to be easy to suffer. In fact, Jesus Himself would pray fervently in the Garden of Gethsemane, Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Yet, not what I will, but what you will. So, of course, we pray for healing when we're sick. Of course, we pray for a good job when we're unemployed. We pray for relief when we're oppressed. We pray for joy to be renewed when we're down, when we're depressed. But our love for Christ, our commitment to persevere in faith and hope, remains firm whether we're delivered from the immediate circumstance or not. We drink from the cup. The cup of Christ symbolizes suffering, and the cup of Christ symbolizes sacrifice. While suffering is not necessarily chosen, sacrifice is always a choice. To sacrifice is to give ourselves to others when we don't have to. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, I lay down my life. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. It was His choice, His desire, His mission to come and to be a sacrifice on behalf of others. And it does occur to me, there is great joy in that kind of sacrifice of giving ourselves to be a blessing to others. Consider a new mother. We have one, actually. We have two in our family. Two new mothers. A mother makes all manner of sacrifice for that new child. Beginning from that 9-month pregnancy to completely reordering her schedule after the birth and reprioritizing the finances. All for this new child. And you look at the face of that young mother who sacrifices, and it's the face of pure joy. Well, most of the time, pure joy. to drink from the cup of Christ is to reject a self-centered life and become a giving person who takes pleasure in being a blessing to others. The cup of Christ, it symbolizes suffering, His suffering, and our willingness to receive whatever comes from the hand of God. It symbolizes sacrifice. First, the sacrifice of Christ on behalf of all of us, and a willingness to drink from the cup of sacrifice. And third, it's the cup of salvation. In our call to worship, the cup is used as the symbol of God's salvation. As we read, I'll lift high the cup of salvation, a toast to God. Kids, you know what a toast is? I don't mean like toast you put in the toaster and eat in the morning. A toast. You ever do that in your family? Most of the time we don't do that except at wedding banquets and stuff. And at the end of the wedding, you have a big banquet, and then the best man or the father of the bride stands up and it says, I'm going to give a toast to this new couple. Blah, blah, blah. God bless them or what, whatever. When we come to the table and we all lift up these little cups, it's like we're saying, we give a toast to the glory of God and His salvation for us. Salvation. It means our sins are forgiven. It means our suffering is redeemed. It means it turns into something good that we don't expect. And our standing before God as His beloved child is secure. That's salvation. Salvation is the promise of God's eternal love today, tomorrow, and forever. It means there's purpose in our suffering, joy in our sacrifice, and hope of redemption. That's our salvation. Salvation is not just a goal for the afterlife. We don't follow Christ just so something good happens to us after we die. It's something good begins to happen now, today, as God moves in our hearts and fills us with joy, even as we drink the cup of suffering and the cup of sacrifice. It's for today. We get a taste today. And one of my favorite things is when I see a little bit of that happening in your lives. When I know that you've been through some intense suffering or sacrifice and you've come close, really close maybe, to losing hope, to wondering if this suffering's ever going to end. And then suddenly, things change. God provides that job you've been looking for more than months, maybe years. God provides and He comes and suddenly everything's redeemed and joy is renewed. One more thing about the story. Jesus asked James and John if they're willing to drink His cup. And their response cracks me up. I mean, He's just said, we're going to Jerusalem. All this bad stuff's going to happen to me. Can you drink this cup? And instantly they go, sure, Jesus, we can drink from your cup. We can be baptized like you. That's the way I picture it anyway. They had no clue what the future held, the very immediate future with them. But the wonderful thing about that kind of goofy, uninformed response, they really were committed to Christ. They really did believe He was the Son of God. In that moment, they were as fully, wholly committed as they could be. God knows that when you come to the table and you take a drink from the cup, you're not going to fully get it. Some of us may more than others, maybe. I'm not sure it matters. What I think matters is having the faith to drink today from the cup of Christ. That symbolizes His suffering for you, His sacrifice for you and his salvation provided to you by his blood. So, I want to invite all of us to come to the table. And here's the way we're going to do it. A little bit different today. Remember, this is the Lord's table. All who call on the name of Christ as Lord are welcome to come and commune. But we're going to bring our worship team back, and they're going to start playing some music here. And then here's the process we're going to do today. If you've got one of those boxes, now if you don't have one, don't panic, it's okay. If you've got one of those Christmas boxes, hold it up if you got one. Let's see how many we've got out there. We've got a bunch. Okay, good, great. All right, that's pretty good. And by the way, there are extra boxes out in the courtyard. So if you want a box, you can go out there. It's already been loaded up, and you can give a small donation. Kim's out there, our children's director, and she can tell you, you know, what that's involved in. Okay, you can put your boxes down now. Great. And you can pick one up if you want to bring one. That's optional to you, though. And here's the way we're going to do. They're going to start to play some music and sing, and then normally we go straight to the tables. But today, you're going to come here, and we're going to start stacking the boxes right here on the top step and of the altar. Okay? And you're going to put it here, and I want you to put your box down, and we'll have someone coming here in just a second to kind of stack them nicely. And then I want you to kneel. I want you to kneel on the steps of the altar. And I want you to pray for the child who's going to get your box. Okay? Pray, God, help this little girl or this little boy to know your love. You pray for that child. And then, with your parents, you go to the table. And you partake of the bread and the cup. And when you get to the cup, I want you to eat the bread. That symbolizes the body of Christ. And then when you take that little cup, I want you to hold it for a second or two or three. And I want you to remember what it symbolizes. And then I want you to hear God in your heart saying, "Can you drink of my cup?" And then if you're willing, you drink. Okay? All right. Now, let's begin to come and stack the boxes and go to the Lord's table.